Welcome, change agents. I'm so glad you're here. This is Cheryl Klein, and you're listening to the Limitless Leader Podcast.
Hi there. Today is an extremely special day. I am so excited to be here with Alita Jeffress. Alita, I've been really looking forward to this conversation. Thank you for taking the time.
Thanks, Cheryl. I'm glad to be here today.
Of course. Well, you know, you are such an amazing leader in your space. And a lot of times I think, you know, we forget about the journey that it takes or, you know, what inspired female leaders to persevere. So before we start asking maybe some of the tougher questions, can you let us know a little bit about what inspired you to get into consulting and to really be a striver and become a woman in leadership? Was there anything that inspired you or any difficulties that you, you know, set your sights to overcoming, or, you know, how did you get to where you are today?
Well, there's a lot of answers to those questions. So, you know, I think that really early on, I would have to say that as I thought about what I was really good at, I was always really good at problem solving. And a lot of that I accredit to my dad. My dad was an engineer. And so, you know, when you're little and you follow your dad around and he's working on things around the house, right? Everything had to be really perfect. Everything was aligned. All his projects were done well and done on time. And so I think he kind of instilled that into me to look for answers, ask questions, figure out how to get things done, and make sure that you're doing, you know, as good a job as you can do. So kind of growing up with that thought process and kind of that structure, so to speak, I think that really lent itself well to me, because as I got into the professional world, there was still a lot of, you know, how do I figure this out? What do I do? When do I take a leap? When do I not? Right. And so learning to think through different scenarios and different problems or different opportunities really helped me decide what would I do as a next step, or maybe what wouldn't I do as a next step. So I think that was something that was ingrained into me pretty early on.
Yeah. And it sounds like it's incredibly important on your journey. And so, like, where did you start? And, you know, if you can take us through a little bit of a walk through, you know, memory lane, and where did you start and kind of how did you end up to being a senior VP today?
Sure. So, you know, when I went to school, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And so kind of took the, you know, the business management approach to college. And then when I graduated, my roommate in college actually went to go work for a software company. Now, I had never taken, I was not involved in IT. I took one computer class in college, so didn't really know a lot about software. But when she went to work at the software company, she was like, you know, you should really come and work at this company with me. And so I'm like, okay, you know, at least I know somebody and I can go work here. So I really went to work for a software company that was serving the not-for-profit industry. And I started in the call center. So basically, I worked the help desk and I helped clients with learning their software, using their software, implementing their software. And as we all know, when we call those people, that can be a really frustrating job. And, you know, you're really handholding people just through every step of their day. So, but again, that kind of taught me a lot. And I'm a firm believer that everybody should have some kind of client service or customer service facing job early in their career, because it really builds the foundation for how do you interact with people? How do you help them be successful? So, and as a result, you know, I worked at that software company about 8 years. I started in the call center, but then I went into training. I went into quality assurance. I went into product management, did consulting as part of that organization too. So all of those skills kind of built on each other. And I found myself, as I then moved on to different companies, leveraging a lot of those different skill sets. I ended up at one software company over time where I was really asked to do sales. And at the time, I was completely mortified. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I am so not a salesperson, right? You really want me to do this? And you know, and at that point, I hired a sales coach because I didn't have any idea. And I knew it was something that I needed a lot of help with. So I invested at the time, which was a lot of money for me at the time. And I invested into, I think, like 4 months with a sales coach. And, you know, I look back because that was one of those pivot points when that was money that was super well spent for me. I learned things out of that that I wouldn't have learned in a class. I wouldn't have learned at a conference or, you know, anything like that. And then I took that and continued to build, you know, on that knowledge. Now, you know, there is a whole art and a science to sales without a doubt. And there are people who are still much better at that than I am, but it's something that really, I think was a chance or a risk that I took the time to really invest in myself to figure out how to do it better and learn from that as I continued to move on. But so I spent a lot of time in software companies, and then I had the opportunity to work in the public sector. And so I actually, that was another big leap or another big pivot, because I'd been in these software companies and serving clients and serving a product. And then I kind of morphed into infrastructure working for the Department of Defense. And that was just a huge culture shock. So, you know, everything sometimes you hear about government is kind of true when you get into how do you manage some of the technology behind that. But that was a place too then where I really learned about security, because I had to, you know, that was at the time when NIST 800-53 was coming out. I had to make sure that I was certified. I had to certify a staff of 40 people. And so that was another big unknown, but another place where I invested my time, made sure that I could pass that certification and continue to leverage that. So I spent about another maybe 15 years in public sector. So worked for Department of Defense, went to work for the state of Indiana as the CIO for the Department of Revenue, which was a very opportunistic opportunity as well. Worked for the city of Aurora in Colorado, and then ended up at CGI, where I've taken over managing kind of a 6-state region for all of their sales and operations and deliveries. So it's been quite a broad journey, but continue to build on everything that I've learned over time.
And so that's amazing. I want to point out something that you said for anyone listening, because a lot of times, and it's been actually shown in the research, that men are more likely to throw their hat in the arena for something that they may not have experience in. So I want to, you know, back a couple, you know, a few roles ago when you were asked to do sales and you didn't know how, I just really wanted to spotlight that you're like, I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to invest in myself. And so I've heard that come up over and over with successful and influential female leaders, that someone saw something in them that maybe they didn't see in themselves. And they're like, okay, I'll try, you know, or I'll learn. And that's really all any of us can do. And so just really spotlight having the courage to say yes, because it seems like learning those sales skills and, you know, probably helped with your skills in general, with your confidence and all of those things that we gather up are really important steps to where we end up. And so really, as long as something is aligned, it seems like it's important to build up the courage to say yes, even if you think you're not qualified.
Right. No, absolutely. Because it just made such a big difference. And you know, they say that you've kind of, you know, you kind of master things after about 5 years, right? Or 10,000 hours, I think is what it is. So as you go through your career, like I invested in myself in that sales role. So then after a period of time, I've noticed that after I make my way through 5 years that I'm like, okay, so what's the next big thing, right? Where do I need to invest? What's going on around me that would either help me professionally or maybe make me more marketable, or what's the latest trend? I was just having that thought the other day. I'm like, okay, so what's the next thing that I really need to take a look at and focus on? Because it went from sales, you know, to security. So those were two very different things, but I spent a lot of time in the security space then, making sure that I understood that, my people understood that. And that's actually become kind of a secondary passion, I guess, of mine, is really understanding sales and everything that has to, or security and everything that has to go into that. So there's just a lot out there. So I think in order to really position yourself well, you just have to, you have to keep learning for sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So two important things here, you know, have the courage to say yes to something that you feel is aligned, and also know that you are a lifelong learner, which is something that actually my dad told me when I graduated from high school. And at that point, I thought it sounded awful. You know, I'm just done. You know, I'm going to go to college and I'm going to be done learning. Like, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. But you know, of course now I understand that a little better, and we're always learning something new, whether it's in our industry or, you know, a lot of times too, I work with amazing leaders that are 2 to 6 years from an exit, and they might learn something new on that next step and what's next. And so I really take that to heart, and I've seen that over and over. It's a common thread in world-class performers, and you seem to imbue it as well. And so what do you think, you know, a lot of times too, I just want to back up a little bit, you know, sometimes, like you said, the path is a little bit circuitous, but also the path isn't always necessarily easy. And so Did you ever have any setbacks, or, you know, what was the mindset that allowed you to pursue, you know, in the face of sometimes challenging times?
Sure. I would say that there's probably like two main things that I really try to always hone in on or always focus on. And the first one is when you're working or when you're learning, you know, there's a lot to be said for discipline. And that's kind of a scary word for people sometimes, right? Because they're like, that doesn't sound fun. And, you know, it's easier to kind of go with the flow. But if you really focus in and you do, if you're trying to achieve a goal, right, then you carve it out into pieces and you work on each one of those pieces every day or every week or whatever your cadence is, but ensuring that you're disciplined in trying to reach your objective, whether that's learning or whatever it is, that has always served me really well, because discipline means that if it's an emotional high day, you know, you had a great day and this company's wonderful or whatever's happening, you know, all is great. But then the next week, you know, it could be, gosh, I don't like this anymore. And where else can I go? Or what else can I do? But if you kind of maintain that discipline and that consistency, it helps you really just be clear in what you're thinking and help you maintain focus. At least that's really what I've experienced. And so the other thing that I think is really important, and I learned this actually during my sales coaching, was the theory of abundance. So I think a lot of times people, they react to things, or they come from a place where it's like, oh my gosh, there's I'm never going to get a new job, or I'm never going to get a promotion, or how in the world would I ever learn that? And so you really feel kind of restricted, when in the reality is there's a lot of things out there. There's a lot of people to meet. There's a lot of different careers you could enjoy. There's just so much more if you pursue it and really allow yourself to think about all the possibilities versus the things that you might not have right now. And so I think that's definitely a mindset. You just have to find out what is it, and then you can use your discipline and consistency to get there.
Yeah, such great advice. So it seems like shifting from maybe a lack mindset to an abundance mindset is incredibly important. So, and also too, what that does, I just want to piggyback on your idea, because it's almost similar to when, you know, if you say you're going to buy a white Audi Q5, you know, and then all of a sudden you see them everywhere. Mm-hmm. And so similarly, if you say, you know, I'm shifting industries and I am going to have a role in cybersecurity, and all of a sudden you're talking to someone and like, oh, you're in cybersecurity. And so all of a sudden these things start to pop up and you start to be connected to people. And it's not that it's necessarily any different. You've just broadened your range of sight. And so, and the universe really conspires for us to be successful. So I really believe and take that to heart, what you said. And so bringing all of those things together that helped you to be successful, you know, going back to our topic on, you know, we talked about really how you've brought the best out of yourself So during these times, you know, it's not really the easiest time to be in business, and sometimes morale can be low or what have you, which of course affects motivation, productivity, all of these things. So is there any advice you have for us to bring the best out of your teams?
Sure. I think, you know, so people are first and foremost, even if it's a technology company, and now all companies have a technology component, right? And I've seen over time where technology maybe has been in the forefront, and then it kind of swings back to people, and maybe it swings back to technology. But really, people are what make up the ability to move anything forward or to be successful. So, you know, when I come into a new organization or I'm trying to build a team, I really try and look at everybody individually and see what's important to them. Because if I can foster what's important to them, whether it's a certain role or a certain skill set, or even, you know, can I help them with how they spend their free time based on what kinds of rewards or incentives, right, I can provide, then really understanding that importance and their value is something that not only helps them, but then you can build that into the team. So making sure that you have complementary strengths. And so when you build a team, everybody has, you know, the role that's best for them. It's like having, you know, you can't have a whole baseball team made up of pitchers, right? You need to make sure that everybody can play their role and definitely have their own strengths. But you have to take the time to do that. So really kind of figuring that out and then making sure that I have avenues to reward them or provide them opportunities and be holistic from my perspective as a manager to say, you know, I think that, you know, Joe Smith really wants to do this type of work. He really wants to be a developer in a certain platform. So then I'll look for opportunities to make sure that I can provide that right to Joe. Or if I know that I have somebody who wants to be a supervisor, great, then let me look and see how can I facilitate making sure that that person's skill sets are up to par, and then look for the opportunities. But it's really making sure that I understand each person. And one thing that I like to do is I have a team of about 85 people right now. And so every year in the month they were hired, so if a person was hired in June, I make sure that I set up 30 minutes to just have a conversation with them. And I do that with everybody in their hire month, because it could be, and I don't have an agenda. It's whatever they want to talk about. It can be work. It can be personal. I've just had fascinating conversations over the years with people just on a myriad of topics, but it gives them the opportunity to get to know me as a manager. I certainly get to know them, particularly, you know, when you get up to 85 and 100 people, you might not know everybody as well as you'd like to, but it gives people the opportunity to just have a conversation. So, and I think that's really important for them to feel connected that way.
Yeah. And I think also too, you're modeling that and you're showing them that you care.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because I do. You have to.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's just one of the drivers in my coaching curriculum that I teach, but caring is one of them. It's actually a human drive that we have. And so, and especially now, you know, that's hugely important in retention and motivation, productivity, everything. So I'm really glad that you're already doing it, but also glad to bring it to the forefront. So, you know, if you didn't hear that, I'm just reiterating what Alita said about, you know, connecting with each person the best that you can, or as many people as you can, and really demonstrate caring and finding out what's important to them. It also reminds me, I have a client who's someone on her team was going to get a bonus, and it was going to be like, I don't know, a $3,000 bonus. But all she's been talking about the last 2 months is Taylor Swift. So he gave her the credit to go buy Taylor Swift tickets. And it was so meaningful because it's curated for her. And it's the same thing for Jim or Jeff or whoever. If you were like understanding them, then as your ears are open, then you can call them up and say, I was thinking about you because this became available. And that just is such next level, which I think during these days when retention is a challenge and when, you know, motivation and productivity and all those things, it seems like there's a requirement now. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that you brought that up. Is there anything else that you wanted to share as far as bringing out the best in our teams?
I think sometimes you have to give kind of your point earlier where you talked about, you know, sometimes people see in others what they don't see in themselves. And sometimes you have to convince people sometimes that they can actually do this new job or take this new risk. And so I like to look for those opportunities for folks and help shepherd them right in that direction, because, you know, I've interviewed people and they've interviewed for a role. And as I'm interviewing them, I'm like, you know, I don't think this is a really good fit for this job that you're interviewing for, but I have this other role that I think you would be fabulous at. And let's talk about that. And so, again, just kind of looking out for those opportunities for people and helping them connect the dots and helping facilitate that, I think is just great. I think it's good too to just bring people along, because we all have value. And so it's finding out what is that specific value and making sure that or helping people realize that they need to be okay with that, even if it's different, even if it's maybe not kind of the run of the mill, like I'm not a developer or I'm not a tester, but what is it that you're really good at? And then how do we market that? And how do you continue to leverage that either personally or professionally? And, you know, when you can care about people and build them up like that, then that helps build your teams and your organizations like for life.
Yeah, 100%. And you never know, you might kind of nudge someone in a different direction and they could develop into something that you really need, you know, down the road. So, or that your organization needs. So such valuable things that you're bringing up, a lot of, you know, valuable reminders. And so for everyone listening, if, you know, you have a call to action, so in other words, be sure to remember this, to do this, to try this, what would you like to leave everyone with?
You know, so I'll do two things. The first thing is, I think for yourself, make sure that you document your successes, and not in a performance review kind of way, although that's, you know, important. But every month I take a look back at the month and I say, what did I do that was successful? And sometimes what was maybe not so successful too, but it's just a notepad on my phone, right? I'll make a couple of notes around this is what happened this month. And therefore, you know, I can use that at the end of the year to go back and say, you know, this is where, you know, maybe I did some good things. This is maybe where I need to improve. But just make those couple of notes on a regular basis, because otherwise you forget. You know, you kind of forget, oh yeah, that was a really good month, or that was a really good week, and here's why, and here's how I made it a good week. And then maybe the next week, this is where I could learn. But again, using that as a basis to kind of move forward. So I think for yourself, that's something that I would really recommend. And then I think for others, reaching out to people that you haven't thought about and or people that, you know, you might want to meet. And I'm a big fan, you know, I try and write personal thank yous. I know that's kind of, you know, texting is faster and all those kinds of things. But if it's really important, you know, take the time and just write a note and leave it with someone or send them a card. I know that sounds really old school, but it's just so important. And we've all been to conferences, right, where they're passing out thank you cards and ways to recognize people. So use those things, because they do mean a lot. And I know that people keep them, and be really intentional with what you say. One of the best things is when I've had people that have worked for me maybe 15 or even 20 years ago have reached out and said, you know, I will never forget when you told me this. And it was just, like you said, it was kind of a pivot moment for them where they might be believed in their self where they wouldn't have before or something like that. So just continue to make sure that you're communicating, writing, and recognizing people as much as you can.
Yeah, 100%. I love that, documenting your wins, because if I can make this blanket statement, women in general, for the most part, we tend to be a little hard on ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so especially strivers, we're forward looking, what's the next thing. And we tend, at least through my coaching journey over the last 20 years, have noticed that we focus on the things where we fallen short or the things that we haven't done quite yet. And so these, you know, focusing on the wins, and even having, I have these gold cards that are literally gold, you know, and writing them down and putting them in a box, you know, talking to your, you can make this old school as too, and put it in a box and, you know, look at them from time to time, especially when you get a compliment or, excuse me, a project well done. So I love those suggestions, and they are so important to us being the best leader that we can be, and also in a sustainable way. So right. Alita Jeffress, thank you so much for your time and sharing your wisdom, and congratulations on all your recent success. And I look forward to following your journey.
Oh, thanks so much, Cheryl. It was a pleasure to be here today.
If you've enjoyed this episode, follow or subscribe to the Limitless Leader Podcast with Cheryl Klein on whatever podcast platform you use. We'll let you know every time we release a new episode. And if you really enjoyed what you've heard so far, rate and review us too. That's one of the best ways that you can support us and make sure that this podcast keeps going. And also, I offer a significant library of free mental toughness and high performance videos, worksheets, tips, and other helpful content on my website at www.cherylklein.com. Thanks for listening. I'm Cheryl Klein, and I look forward to having you back next time. And remember, you're only limited by what you think is possible. Cheering you on always.